back. Is there any way to tighten this one? Are you waiting for me? Huh? We have just heard of Krishna's chastisement of Kaliya, and we also heard the history of Kaliya. And we also heard how Krishna sent Kaliya away, and how there was a forest fire that very day by the bank of the Jamuna. And we also heard how Krishna swallowed that forest fire. And all this took place in the summer season, the heat of the summer in Vrindavan, which is extremely hot. So now we're going to hear this 18th chapter, or part of the 18th chapter, which is entitled Lord Balaram Slays the Demon Pralambasura. Quite a unique pastime. And the first half of this chapter is all this cowherd boy pastime of Krishna, and how he acted with his cowherd boyfriends as they roamed about the forest of Vrindavan herding the cows. And this was full ecstasy for the cowherd boys. In the Krishna's earliest pastimes, were his pastimes where he was mostly with his, or only with his parents. First his mother, then father, then the other elderly or senior residents of Gokul. And then when Krishna moved, all the families moved from Gokul to Nandagaon, they stopped for some time in Chatikara when Krishna was just 5 years old, or 4 or 5 years old, and he was given charge of the cows. And Krishna entered the Vrindavan forest. And from that time on, Krishna's dealings, his loving dealings with his parents, were not as prominent as his dealings with his friends. So these cowherding pastimes are Krishna exchanging his loving rasa with his friends, the other cowherd boys. This is called Sakabhav or Sakaraki. So we'll read the first verse here. Sri Suka Uvacha. Atha Krishna Parivrito Janati Bir Muditatmavi Anugi Yamano Nyavishad Vrajam Gokula Manditam. So Krishna Parivrita, surrounded Gyatibi by his companions, Mudita Atmavi, who were joyful by nature. This is the nature of boys. Even in the spiritual world, they're always playing, or especially in the spiritual world, they're always playing, and they're happy for no reason. They're playing and having a wonderful time. And when Krishna is the center of everything, that time is not wonderful, it's ecstatic, the highest of ecstasies. So surrounded by his boyfriends, which were mudita atmabhi, who were joyful by nature, anugiyamana, who were chanting his glories, they were chanting about Krishna. This is the speciality of the spiritual world, is everyone is simply thinking about Krishna. And that is why it is impossible for us to actually understand the nature of the spiritual world, because there is no false ego there. Here, the very nature of all the dealings are based on false ego, and plus all the coverings on top of that. But in the spiritual world, there is no false ego, there is real ego, real identity, the real sarup of the living entity is being manifest, and that is his loving relationship with Krishna. So, with the cowherd boys who are chanting his glories, always talking about Krishna, smartavyo satatam vishnu vishmartavyo nujata chit sarva vidhi nishcheta cha etra eva kinkara. The Shastra explains that the essence of all the rules and regulations is to assist us and remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. But in the spiritual world, the cowherd boys, they are the masters, they are the past masters of the consciousness that the sadhakas are trying to achieve, the practitioners are trying to achieve a consciousness. And the rule for that is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. But the cowherd boys continuously and only remember Krishna, only think about Krishna. And therefore they're chanting his glories continuously. That means they're always talking about him. They're always thinking about him, because whatever he does is glorious, because it's he who's doing it. Even later on, there is one chapter that begins by describing it. In the Krishna book, it's entitled Wonderful Krishna. Where one of the cowherd men, after Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, he says, did you see how Krishna is standing there or sitting down with his left hand? His head is leaning against his left hand. And the chapter's title is Wonderful Krishna. Because when there's love for Krishna, even the simplest thing is deeply appreciated. And it's also true that everything that Krishna does is perfectly graceful and perfectly wonderful. The way Krishna dresses, the way Krishna acts, he is the all-attractive Supreme Lord. But it is the love for Krishna that allows someone to see in that way. Without love, one cannot see it at all. One cannot see Krishna's kindness, Krishna's wonderful activities. It is love that allows the devotee to see Krishna everywhere and in everything, and see everything Krishna does is favorable and wonderful. So, Vrajam Gokula Mandita. So, with Sri Krishna entered the village of Braja, which was decorated with herds of cows. This is the decoration of Vrindavan, Gokul. It is the land of the cows, Goloka Vrindavan. It is a cowherd village. This is the ideal life, the perfect life. And Krishna demonstrated it. We'll read the comment to this. I'll read the verse first. Sukadev Goswami said, surrounded by his blissful companions who constantly chanted his glories, Sri Krishna then entered the village of Braja, which was decorated with herds of cows. There's no comment here, but we'll read the comment of Srila Sridhar Swami and Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sridhar Swami says, next in the 18th chapter, this is after the swallowing of the forest fire, during the summer season, which displays the symptoms of spring, because the summer season in Vrindavan, it is extremely hot. At Govardhan a few years ago, it got up to 57 degrees centigrade. It was incredibly, incredibly hot. It is known as one of the hottest places in the world. But in Krishna's presence, everything appeared like the beautiful spring. All the weather was perfect, Srila Swami explains. And what's going to happen in this 18th chapter, Srila Swami says, Lord Hari arranged for Baladev to kill Pralamba as a sporting pastime. Having playfully danced upon the hoods of Kaliya, Lord Krishna, who was the killer of his enemies, had Balaram similarly climb upon the high shoulders of Palambasura. He wanted him because Kaliya was so big, such a huge snake, and Krishna was upon his shoulders, hoods and dancing. So he wanted Balaram to have some great fun of climbing high upon someone's shoulders. So this pastime is arranged because everything, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And everything that he does causes the greatest pleasure. And it is done very wonderfully. And everything that Krishna does, and everything is Krishna's Shakti, Krishna's energy, Vrindavan, is all Krishna, it's Krishna Sandini Shakti, and mixed and orchestrated with Krishna's Ladini Shakti, the internal energy, just, and Krishna's Leela Shakti. Everything in the spiritual world is serving Krishna. Everything in the material world serves Krishna. But in the same way that all the elements of a prison house serve the government and serve the prisoners only indirectly. It doesn't serve the desires of the prisoners. The prisoners desire one thing in the prison house, but exactly the opposite happens. They want to be free, and they're trapped behind bars. They want to eat what they want to eat when they want to eat it. No, they have to eat at a certain time, exercise at a certain time, and at a certain time all the lights go on. All the certain times the bell rings, the lights go off, it's time to go to sleep. There is no freedom, but yet it's all serving the government. So in the material world, nothing will work the way we want it to work. And what we are trying to do is make believe ahankar vamudatma, bewildered by false ego, and making believe that all this material energy is meant to serve us. And the result of that is continuous and only frustration. Continuous frustration because we are not the center. And we are in illusion, acting, trying to think as if we were the center and trying to manipulate the energy so it will serve us. And it simply refuses to cooperate. This is the very nature of the material world. In the spiritual world, because Krishna indeed is the center, and all the energies, he's Sarva Shaktiman, the possessor of all Shakti and energy and power. And everything is serving him, and Vrindavan is serving him, and the pastimes are organized by his Leela Shakti for his service. So, Sanatana Goswami comments, Atta, which is the first verse, Atta Krishna Parivrito. Atta means right after that night, early in the morning, after Krishna swallowed the forest fire. Or else according to the time sequence of herding the cows in the afternoon. Because otherwise it would not be feasible that they were all coming back to brush it with the cows. So Atta means then, the next day probably. And thus it is to be understood that Sri Yasoda and the other ladies had first gone quickly home and sent ahead food and other necessities. All the residents of Vrindavan, Mother Yasoda and all the cowherd ladies, they were thinking about Krishna. All the men were thinking about Krishna. All the young gopis and the boys were with Krishna. But everyone was simply focused on Krishna, thinking about him serving. Mother Yasoda used to send food continuously, always out to Krishna to feed him. So surrounded by the cowherd boys, because of their excessive affection, they were enveloping him by surrounding him on all sides, and they also chanted about him. Again, this is the comment of Srila Sanatana Goswami. adorned by the community of cows, Gokul, is said because the cows entered before Krishna. So Krishna was always pushing the cows in front of him. In this way, Braja became decorated by the multitude of cows. Gosamuha, Gokula Manditam, decorated by the cows. Text 2. While Krishna and Balaram were thus enjoying life in Vrindavan in the guise of ordinary coward boys, Vraje Vikridatore Vam Gopala Chadma Mayaya Grishmo Namatur Abhavan Nati Prayan Charirinam. So the word Grishmo means the summer. The summer season, Ritu, the summer season was there. So while Krishna and Balaram were thus enjoying life in Vrindavan in the guise of ordinary coward boys, the summer season gradually appeared. This season is not very pleasing to embodied souls because of the great heat, of course. Here's the purport. In Volume 1, Chapter 18 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. The summer season in India is not very much welcome because of the excessive heat. But in Vrindavan, everyone was pleased because the summer there appeared just like spring. Everything was fresh and pleasing to the senses. Yes, everything is meant to please Krishna's senses. And our fault is when we try to manipulate the material energy so that it pleases our senses. And that again is the cause of unlimited frustration and difficulty. We'll read a comment by Srila Swami Sanatana Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Swami just says, Gopal Chadma Mayaya, that's the second line, Gopala Chadma Mayaya Vraje Vikrid Datore Vam. Thus Krishna, with the two of them, in Vraja, was sporting Gopala Chadma. Chadma means in disguise as coward boys. Mayaya, by the illusion. They were disguised by the illusion that they were ordinary coward boys. So Srila Swami says, means that that Maya is there. Maya in which there is the pretense of being a coward boy. Krishna is a coward boy. This is his Navayovanam Swarup, his ever fresh, ever existing form, the original, Govindam Adi Purusham, Govinda, cowherd boy. But yet, he is not a cowherd boy, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Sanatana Goswami will speak something about this as well. This more about Gopala Chadma Mayaya, the deceit as a cowherd. Everyone is loving him as if he's just one of the village boys. But actually, and obviously, he's the supreme. But due to the potency of Yoga Maya, not the external energy, Yoga Maya, he's disguising. They're not seeing him as the Supreme Lord. And he's at times contracting all his opulences and powers so he doesn't display them. So the illusion of that he's an ordinary coward boy, Sanatana Goswami says, is proven to be false by his directly having exhibited his opulence. Now the illusion that he's a coward boy has been proven false by his exhibiting his opulence. And what was that opulence? The last opulence that he exhibited.
Swallowing a whole parsley.
Yes, you try and do that. I remember when we were children, we used to see, you go to the circus and they have people who, they take things of fire and they put it in their mouths and they extinguish it like that, or they pull it out like that. But Krishna, let them try to do that with an entire forest fire, a huge forest fire. Impossible. So he's just exhibited his opulences, but he's contracted his opulence now. Which opulence, which shakti was that? Do you remember? It said it's the shakti of annihilation. Annihilated the forest fire, and Krishna actually didn't swallow it. That's what it was described. So he had exhibited his opulence of control of the controller of all the shaktis. But since Sanatana Goswami says he has revealed his own status of Godhead by that Maya, but the coward boy, now he's withdrawn that, and the coward boys aren't thinking of him at all as the Supreme Lord nor the other residents of Vrindavan. The summer season had been previously indicated by the statement that the forest fire rose up of the forest of the summer season, such being described in terms of its just beginning. Well, now, on the other hand, the summer had actually developed, and we would understand that this from the repetition of the statement that it is summer. To describe it in elaborate detail, telling us more what's going on, so it's repeated it again. The word nama is meant to indicate that the season was Grishma, or summer by name, but not by quality and so on. It said nama, the season was Grishmo nama arto abhavan. So the season was named summer. So Srila Sanatana Goswami has extracted a wonderful meaning from this. It was named summer, implies that it wasn't acting as summer, it was just named as summer. It wasn't acting as summer because it wasn't hot at all. Not by quality. This matter will be clear later on when the actual season and what's going on there in wonderful spirit, the spiritual world, it's going to be described later. The summer, however, was not dear because of its being full of heat, where the word too much refers to it being somewhat dear because of sports within the water, and the opportunity to reside wherever one wants. One doesn't need a shelter in the summer. The heater is always going. We can live outside if one wants. In India, one sees this too. The people, they sleep on the roof. They just put a bed up on the roof. They sleep out. You can sleep outside. There's no problems. In this case, the particular description, so it's not... It's not unappreciated because every season has its benefits and every season has the drawbacks. What is one of the benefits of winter? Yeah, that means you can eat more and enjoy. But some, if you try to eat that much, you get sick. In this case, the particular description of this season of a particular year among all the many hot and rainy seasons that they enjoyed, coward boys and Krishna enjoyed, is for the purpose of aiming at some particular pastime. For the purpose of tending the cows somewhere else than Braja, because on that day the place was very hot. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this second text. Krishna's herding cows was just a pretense for his going to the forest and playing with his coward boyfriends. But Krishna and Balaram actually wanted to play with their personal gopis. In Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Karnapur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, describes that Balaram had a separate set of gopis from Krishna. This will also be described later in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there haven't, up to this point, there hasn't been the rasa with the Krishna's dealings, sweet dealings with the gopis, transcendental, these sweet dealings with the gopis has not been described, but that will be described beginning the first time in chapter 21, which is coming up quite soon, and then later on the Rasalila pastimes and other pastimes as well, Krishna's dealing with gopis' clothes and things like that. But so far, the center of these pastimes have previously, the ones in Gokul were centered around the Vatsalyaras. And here it's Sakuras. Text 3. Sacha Vrindavana Gunaiva Shanti Iva Lakshitaha Yastraste Bhagavan Shakshad Ramena Sahakeshava. Nevertheless, Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally staying in Vrindavan along with Balaram, summer manifested the quality of spring. Vashanti eva lakshita. Lakshita means the symptoms. Vashanta. The sun season. The season of spring. So everything was just perfect there. Everything was perfect because everything in Goloka Vrindavan, again, serves Krishna. That is why it's a spiritual world. And those, the people, the everything is personal there, and it wants to serve Krishna. And if one doesn't want to serve Krishna, where does one go? Huh? To Perth. Yes. We'll read Sanatana Goswami's comment to the third text. Krishna in this verse is called Keshava. Ramena Saha Keshava. Ramena means that everyone with Krishna along with Balaram. So Krishna is termed Keshava, which Keshava has the meaning here. It means, we know it means the boy with the beautiful hair, because Kesha means hair. But also it means means Brahma. It means Brahma and Shiva. That Keshava means that Brahma and Shiva are servants of him, and he makes them appear. Therefore, he is Bhagavan. So, Bhagavan Sakshat Ramena Saha Keshava. He is Bhagavan and eager to exhibit all his opulences. So, that's the implication of Keshava. Or else, according to the definition given in the Vishnu Purana, Yasmat Tvayaiva Dushmatahatta Keshi Janardhanam Tasma Keshava Nama Tvam Loke Geo Bhavishyasi. Because, O Janardhan, the evil Keshi had been destroyed by you, therefore in the future you will be known in this world as Keshava. So those three meanings of Keshava, the controller of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the boy with the beautiful hair, and the killer of the Keshi demon. And therefore he is Bhagavan, he who is manifesting within Vrindavan the opulence of his sweetness. The speciality of the pastimes, Krishna's pastimes of Vrindavan, are that they are fully sweet, and therefore all the rasas are called, all the rasas in Vrindavan are called Madhurya rasa, actually. The rasas of sweetness. And more specifically, in that Vrindavan where he remains himself directly manifest, there is also Rama, who is known thus because he repeatedly gives pleasure to that forest, the forest of Vrindavan. By saying that Krishna played along with him, Balaram, it is implied that the Lord was desirous of enjoying various pastimes through the facility of Balaram's cooperation. Text 4. In Vrindavan. So now it's these verses that we'll read today are going to describe the beauties of Vrindavan in the summer season, and then something on pastimes. In the next chapter, we'll describe the beauty of Vrindavan in the rainy season, because after the summer season comes the rainy season, and then after the rainy season comes the fall or autumn. So the next chapter will describe the summer. This chapter, the summer. Next chapter, the fall. Excuse me, the rainy season, and then the fall. And each season has its special sweetness because it is manifested in Vrindavan and is meant to serve different varieties of Krishna's pastimes. So what did it say was the wonderful thing about the summer? Is you always going swimming and enjoying. And of course in the winter, that desire to go swimming is somewhat minimized. So text 4. In Vrindavan, the loud sounds of waterfalls covered the cricket's noise. and clusters of trees, constantly moistened by spray from those waterfalls, beautified the entire area. So there were waterfalls everywhere, trees, and the waterfalls were spraying water everywhere, which was so pleasing in the summer, especially, like air conditioning, with the breezes carrying the droplets of water. How wonderful. And the trees giving off their flowers and fruits. Srila Sridhar Swami comments on this fourth verse. How it was the same as spring. The last verse said that summer was the same as Vashanta, or spring. So how it was the same as spring is described in four verses, because usually you wouldn't expect that the waterfalls would dry up in the hot season. But even in which summertime in Vrindavan exhibited itself in such way that the crickets, the jilakas, tiny insects that have a very harsh sound, had their vibrations covered up by the resounding of the waterfalls. 5. More description of Vrindavan during the spring-like summer. The wind, wafting over the waves of the lakes and flowing rivers, carried away the pollen of many varieties of lotuses and water lilies, and then cooled the entire Vrindavan area with the coolingness and its fragrance. Thus the residents there did not suffer from the heat generated by the blazing summer sun and the seasonal forest fires. Indeed, Vrindavan was abundant with fresh green grass. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments to text 5. Short comment. By the verse beginning Sarit, which is Sarit Sara, and that has to do with the rivers. Sarit is the rivers. By the verse beginning Sarit is described the great coolness and other qualities of the wind. This is one reason for there being absence of heat, and another is stated by the word Ati Sadvale, the abundance of green grass. This is described in the Vishnu Purana, O best of Brahmanas. Therefore, even though it was a very dry, hot season, there was new grass growing all about, just as during the rainy season. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Vrindavan was cool in the summer because of the breezes wafting over the waves of the rivers. The wind, like a thief, silently and invisibly stole the pollen from the lotuses, and then gave relief from the heat with its fragrant, gentle breezes. So this is like the setting. These are the wonderful settings in which Krishna is going to perform his pastimes. Through the scorching summer sun, though the scorching summer sun usually dries up everything, it did not do so in Vrindavan, and thus the place was full of tender green grass. Text 6. With their flowing waves, the deep rivers drenched their banks, making them damp and muddy. Thus the rays of the sun, which were as fierce as poison, could not evaporate the earth's sap or parch its green grass. So again, the spring-like nature of the summer. Srila Swami comments. But where did this green grass come from? Because in the last verse it said, indeed, Vrindavan was abundant with fresh green grass. So where did the green grass come from? This is replied to by the verse beginning, Adya Dhyatcha. The rays of the sun, even though as fierce as poison, do not remove the juice and greenness of the earth, in which the mud is liquefied on account of the waves that are touching the shores of the rivers, whose waters are infathomable, deep in conjunction with their sandy island banks. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, short comment also, text 6. No one felt the heat of the summer because of the tall, shade-giving trees. This verse mentions another reason. The deep-flowing rivers made their banks wet and muddy. Thus the sun could not parch the green grass. Very beautiful. 7. Flowers beautifully decorated the forest of Vrindavan, and many varieties of animals and birds filled it with sound. The peacocks and bees sang, and the cuckoos and cranes cooed. So amongst this cooling atmosphere were the rivers and the trees and the green grass and the breezes were the birds. And they were filling it with sound because all the senses must be pleased for there to be happiness. So Krishna, the purpose of what Vrindavan does is please all the senses of Krishna. The senses of the harsh sounds of the cricket, there was what you we call nowadays, there would be a noise screen of the waterfalls that would blot out the sounds of the cricket, and instead, so you'd have the sound of fresh flowing water and the sounds of the birds. Sanatan Goswami, the cuckoos, the cranes, and the bees and the peacocks. Of course, the bees aren't birds, but they were buzzing in the same way. Sanatan Goswami comments. O Sriman, yes, Vanam Kusamitam Sriman. Sriman means very beautiful. O Sriman, which implies that just as you are beautified in various ways by the power of Sri Krishna, such is also the case for that forest. Or else Srimat is an adjective applying to the forest, so not to Maharaj Prakrit, but to the forest. And this quality of being beautiful is shown by the further adjectives decorated with flowers and so on. Or else the word Srimat. Collectively refers to the various other qualities of beauty which are not specifically expressed. The meaning of Kusamitam, filled with unlimited blossoming flowers, even during summer, having the qualities of the spring, even though they are also included by the words birds, the peacocks and others are separately mentioned because they are especially singing sweetly out of happiness in the absence of the oppressive heat. So as soon as in Vrindavan during the very hot season, the peacocks don't sing. They don't make their meow. They don't make that sound. But as soon as the rains come, they start loudly, loudly calling out, calling out, calling out because the heat is down. And they're always calling out, we say, Megor, Megor, more clouds, more clouds, more rain. Text 8. So intending to engage in pastimes, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accompanied by Lord Balaram and surrounded by the cowherd boys and the cows, entered the forest of Vrindavan as he played his flute. So the purpose of the setting, the beautiful setting, is the pastimes. Perfectly arranged to give Krishna and his friends pleasure. So Sanatana Goswami comments in text 8. Being about to play is spoken in reference to special pastimes because he is Krishna. He whose pastimes attract the hearts of an entire world and therefore he is Bhagavan. It is especially stated that he was accompanied by Baladev for the reason that later on the Lord will have some special purpose for him. And what is that special purpose? Because Balaram is being emphasized here is that he's going to kill Pralambasura. Vidan Nayan means playing his flute, either out of the ecstasy of the sport of carrying out his duty of the cowherding, or for the purpose of giving encouragement for engaging in pastimes. Therefore, together with the cowherd boys, and also along with the cows, who are their wealth, or else with the wealth of the cows, surrounded by all of these, Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan. This is more the scenes for the pastime. Even though other animals are present, the special mention of the cows is because they're being most important. And by the word dana, it is indicated the necessity of protecting them. Because dana means what? Wealth. So the cows are the wealth, and therefore they were protecting. Goraksha, the protection of the cows. Therefore, this is also the reason for protecting the cows and for entering the forest. And by the word kridis samana, it is stated the reason of engaging in pastimes is the principal reason for Krishna's entering of the forest. Everything else just assists Krishna's pastimes. So decorating themselves, now we're moving to what Krishna and Balaram are doing. Now the scene has been set. And all these activities are also for the major pastimes that is going to come up with Balaram's killing of Palambasura, a very powerful demon. Decorating themselves with newly grown leaves, along with peacock feathers, garlands, clusters of flower buds. Because Krishna, when he goes out in the morning, his mother decorates him with jewelry and so many fine ornaments, but Krishna prefers the vanamala, the garlands made from the flowers in the forest. He's accepting the offerings made by the trees and the plants of Vrindavan. He relishes them because this is their offering to him with so much love. So, and the peacocks make their offerings by dropping, and this season, actually in the rainy season, they really drop their feathers. Along with peacock feathers, they decorated themselves with newly grown leaves, along with peacock feathers, garlands, clusters of flower buds, and colored minerals. Balaram, Krishna, and the cowherd boyfriends danced, wrestled, and sang. They were just enjoying, like boys. This is how boys enjoy. And also, it will describe they fight also. Is how boys enjoy. Sanatana Goswami's comment. Being about to play is spoken in reference to special pastimes. Oh, I read that one. Sorry. The cowherd boys is in reference to the Lord's playing like a cowherd boy, or else because of his nature, being always extremely joyful, decorated with forest articles and capable of expert exhibitions of dancing and so on. And thus, as indicated by the word Rama Krishna Daya, because of the two of them being fully absorbed in pastimes as cowherd boys, so absorbed that Krishna doesn't think of himself as the all-powerful Supreme Lord, where universes are coming from the pores of his skin, and he's entering each universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and he's entering in every atom and between every atom, and he's the karta, the adikarta, the prime mover of everything, and that he's the Maya Dakshain, the Prakriti. Everything is going, moving under his glance and under his supervision, but he forgets all that. He just becomes absorbed in his childhood pastimes, like when a king is playing with his young son, he forgets that he's the king and he just is in his relationship as father. So the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so powerful that it makes Krishna forget his own power and potency. So Krishna, Rama Krishna Daya, because of the two of them being fully absorbed in pastimes as cowherd boys, he was identifying himself simply as a cowherd boy. Or else the idea being intended is that the descriptions of being decorated and so on apply indiscriminately. Just as Rama and Krishna, similarly all the others decorated themselves in this way. And thus the use of the term Rama Krishna is with the idea of their giving pleasure to everyone and attracting the minds of everyone by their dancing and so forth. This is as will be shown later on. First they dance, irregardless of any musical accompaniment, because of the excess of their glee, their happiness. There is no mention of any instrumental performance. So they're just dancing and singing and just enjoying themselves. Their happiness to be in the forest all alone. Isn't that what kids always want, to be away from their parents? So they're there enjoying like anything. They engage in fighting, you do, meaning that they wrestled with their arm wrestling. And thus they sang out of extreme joy, because all of them were equal in strength, and so on. Or else only those who were victorious sang out of great joy. Or else some of them danced, some of them fought, and some of them sang, taking into consideration the word kechit, which is going to be used in the next verse. Kechit means someone, sometimes, that type of word. Some of them. Here it is also to be understood, some of them played musical instruments, Sanatana Goswami says, since dancing depends on instrumental accompaniment. In this way, in the very beginning, their dancing and so forth are mentioned, because by nature they, who are extremely joyful, always engage in that way. And Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur says that the word Gopa, Rama Krishna Dayo Gopa, indicates that even Balaram was absorbed in the mood of a cowherd boy. They're just in that mood. How wonderful. Text 10. Krishnasya nrittayo kechit jagu kechit avadayan venu panit telai shringai prasan samsur atapare. As Krishna danced nrittayo, some of the boys, Krishnasya nrittayo kechit, some of the boys while Krishna was dancing, jagu kechit, some sang, and avadayan, some accompanied him musically, venu, with flutes, panitalai, and kartals, hand cymbals, and shringai, with buffalo horns, and prasasamu, they offered praise, and others offered praise, saying, well done, you're doing well. Some are playing kartals, they're playing their flutes, buffalo horns, and in this way, and Krishna was dancing, they were singing, and they were enjoying like anything. So wanting to encourage, purport here says, wanting to encourage Sri Krishna, some of the cowherd boys openly praised his dance. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. But what are the real identities of these cowherd boys? Because of Sri Krishna's being special, they were exclusively interested in his satisfaction, as stated in the verse beginning, Krishna, Krishna Asya, while Krishna was dancing. They praised him, thus they praised him. Very good, very good, which indicated the perfect fineness of his dancing. We heard in the last chapter of how Krishna is the best of dancers. He is known as Natabara, the foremost of dancers, the master of dancing. In the same way, it is also stated the distinct quality of his expertise in dancing. Text 11. O king, demigods disguised themselves as members of the cowherd community. And just as dramatic dancers praise another dancer, they worship Krishna and Balaram, who are also appearing as cowherd boys. So they are not cowherd boys, but they're appearing as cowherd boys. Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And otherwise, why would demigods come to participate in these pastimes? It is because demigods are so powerful, but it is not a lessening of their position to act as cowherd boys with Krishna and Balaram. It is an increase of their position. Because Krishna and Balaram, these are the highest of all activities. It is impossible for ordinary religionists, ordinary spiritualists, ordinary materialists to understand this, to enter into these understandings. One needs to be a bhakta, a devotee. Even for ordinary devotees, it's difficult to understand, actually. Because it seems so ordinary. What are they doing? They're playing. Listen to what they're doing. Krishna and Balaram played with their coward boyfriends, but keep in mind the demigods, they're lining up to come and participate in these pastimes. They played with the coward boyfriends by whirling around, by leaping, by hurling, slapping, and fighting. Sometimes Krishna Balaram would pull the hair on the boys' heads. What is wonderful about this? The wonderful thing about this is that Krishna is doing it. And it is so wonderful that the highest persons in the material world, they are so eager to participate. Here's purport here. The Acharyas have explained this verse as follows. The word Brahmanai indicates, this is text 12, that the boys, pretending they were machines, would sometimes whirl about until they became dizzy. You ever see boys do that? They just turn around. Also, you ever see devotees doing that during kirtan? You notice it's the boys who do it. They would also sometimes jump about, langanai. The word chepa indicates that sometimes they would hurl objects like balls of stone, and that sometimes they would grab each other by the arms and throw one another about. Asvatana means that sometimes they would slap one another's shoulders or backs, and vichanai indicates they would drag one another about in the midst of their play. By the word niyudina, arm wrestling and other types of friendly fighting are indicated. And the word kakapaksha darao means that Krishna and Balaram would sometimes grab the hair on the other boy's head in a playful manner. Boys will be boys, even in the spiritual world, it seems. Are they allowed to play like this in Singapore, boys? Okay. Government is very strict there. No. Okay. Okay. Singapore is such an amazing place that when I was visiting for a day last year with Krishna Chandra Prabhu, said I had all my luggage from the air in the car, and we just locked it and left. In New York, within 5 minutes, it would all disappear. That's one of the mystic powers of New York. Things can disappear very quickly. Well, playing for boys is encouraged. So, to the previous verse, Sanatana Goswami comments, but what are the real identities of these coward boys? We all talk all the time about what is the real identity of Krishna, but what is the real identity of the coward boys? He asks. In reply to this question, is spoken the verse beginning with Gopa, demigods such as Garuda, personal associates of the Supreme Lord, who are covered over simply in the sense of appearing as members of the coward community, but not covered over in terms of their qualities, pastimes, and so on, or else who emerged into the coward class, which means they have achieved the complete state of being cowards. Thus it is implied that they, as does the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always manifest special qualities of sweetness and so on. They worship means that they engage in playing by offering prayers and so on. This is how they worship the Supreme Lord. By playing with Him, by offering Him prayers, by praising Him. Just like dancers applaud other dancers, hints at the fact that they resemble Him in all aspects in their playing. By the expression, O King, it is meant that you yourself have experience of this in dancing and so forth. Or else seeing the marvel of such sporting, certain of the demigods who were devotees of the Lord assume the form of coward boys. And either standing in heaven or else upon the earth were heartily offering prayers as spoken by the verse beginning Gopa. And thus, just as in the case of dancers on a stage for the purpose of offering prayers to Him who is in the form of a coward boy, they assume the same form as coward boys. Srila Jiva Goswami says, the coward boys are famous as being worshipable in a similar manner as him on account of their expertise in worshipping Krishna. So, very, very, they are completely worshipable because they are fully, they are the greatest worshippers. And that is the qualification for making them worshipable. They are Sridham, Sudham, Vasudham, and others. Thus it is implied that their greatness is equal to his. But then, why aren't they perceived by some to have such greatness, the coward boys? And why is it that your good self has so perceived it? That is replied to, that although they are demigods, they are covered over as being members of the coward community. But it is apparent who they really are by their qualities and so on. But it may be questioned, how is it that they have become members of the coward class? This is replied to, that Krishna is Gopal Rup, where the suffix is in the sense of possessing a permanent connection. So Krishna has his permanent connection with his form as Gopal. Thus the verse shows how his form is their worshipable object, and that they have appeared, they have consequently appeared in imitation of him. They are demigods, and that they are established as such openly in the scriptures. But still, they are hidden by assuming membership in the cowherd community. In other words, even though they are demigods, they have taken birth as cowherds, or else they are devotees like Lord Shiva, Narada, and so on, disguised as human beings, having hidden themselves amongst the cowherd community. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments to text 11. If the demigods had appeared in their natural forms, the coward boys would have recognized them and worshipped them. Therefore, the demigods came as coward boys, like Krishna and Balaram. In this way, Shiva, Narada, and other demigods disguised themselves as coward boys to taste the ecstasy of Krishna's pastimes. To be with one's dearest beloved is always the happiness that everyone is longing for. And when that dearest beloved is Krishna, to be with him and intimately enjoying pastimes is the ecstasy that every soul longs for. The phrase Gopala Rupi now means that Krishna and Balaram eternally have the forms of cowherd boys. And the 12th text, Srila Swami and Sanatana Goswami comment. This, they had hair. Kakapaksha means the hair remaining before the hair-cutting ceremony. So they had so much hair. They played with fighting, arm wrestling, and whirling about and so on. Making motions, Sanatana Goswami says, making motions of machines, or else whirling about by seizing each other's arms and so on, or else twirling around of certain other of the coward boys, and then throwing them, just like the throwing about of balls and other toys. By waving means striking their arms with their palms, and by acts of dragging, or else by dragging each other just like ropes. By fighting means by arm wrestling. Sometimes you see boys pulling another boy around by the arms, pulling him on the ground. Fighting means arm wrestling, or like professional wrestlers. The word sometimes is properly connected with each of the actions, whirling about and so on. Or else by his special potency, he simultaneously played with each of them. So they each had their turns, or sometimes Krishna might have played with each of them simultaneously. And he can do that because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that he's performing these activities is not ordinary, but is extraordinary. He simultaneously played with each one, undiscerned by the others, by which, just as previously mentioned, is to be understood as his opulence. Or else the purpose of the various incidences of fighting which he engages in with each of them is going to be made apparent later on in the Lord's fighting with the wrestlers in the arena. So Krishna, this is how Krishna practices fighting. Then he went up against Chanura and Mastika. text 13. While the other boys were dancing, O king, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes accompany them with song and instrumental music, and sometimes the two lords would praise the boys, saying, very good, very good. Sanatana Goswami comments here. Previously, it has been described how the coward boys were dedicated to the satisfaction of Sri Krishna. And now, it is described how the two of them, Krishna and Balaram, were dedicated to the satisfaction of the coward boys. This is described in the verse beginning, Kwachit. Swayam means by their own desire. Thus, it is shown the taste of their free play. Everything is just by their desire. O king means, O you who are the most super excellent amongst all the kingly class, because of your special devotion to Sri Krishna. Therefore you deserve to hear about such splendidly, supremely wonderful affection which he shows for his devotees. So this is the context where all this is being described actually. This is all Krishna's desiring. It's caused by the affection of the coward boys and these activities of Krishna, or Krishna desiring to give them the supreme supreme happiness. Text 14. Sometimes the coward boys would play with bilva or kumbha fruits, and sometimes with handfuls of amalaka fruits. At other times they would play the game of trying to touch one another, or trying to identify someone when one is blindfolded, and sometimes they would imitate other animals and birds. They would sometimes jump around like frogs. Sometimes play various jokes, and sometimes ride in swings, and sometimes imitate monarchs, kings. In this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered amongst the rivers, the hills, the valleys, the bushes, the trees and lakes of Vrindavan. We'll read the purport to text 14. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that the word adhyay by other such sports indicates such games as chasing one another, building bridges. Another pastime would occur at noon when Lord Krishna was taking rest. Nearby, the young coward girls would be passing by singing, and Krishna's boyfriends would pretend to inquire from them about the price of milk. Then the boys would steal yogurt and other items from them and run away. They would talk to them, and while they would talk, someone would, oh, how much is this? And how, some of the other boys would come along the other side and steal things. So they would wander all over Vrindavan doing these things, all over the Vrindavan forest and to the other forest as well. Krishna, Balaram and their friends would also play games in which they would cross the river in boats. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the boys would play with fruits by throwing a few in the air and then throwing others to try to hit them. The word netra bandha indicates a game in which one boy would approach a blindfolded boy from behind and place his palms over the blindfolded boy's eyes. Then simply by the feel of his palms, the blindfolded boy would have to guess who the other boy was. In all such games, the boys put up stakes for the winner, such as flutes or walking sticks. Sometimes the boys would imitate the various fighting methods of the forest animals, and at other times they would chirp like birds. It's interesting how the in Chinese martial arts, they have different styles. They have the ways of fighting, the ways of the crane, and the way they have the monkey style of fighting, and the cow. This was all started in Vrindavan. The origin of everything is Vrindavan with the coward boys. To the pastime, they would sometimes jump around like frogs, sometimes ride in swings, play various jokes, and imitate kings. The purport here. See, the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the word nripa chastaya as follows. In Vrindavan, there was a particular place on the riverbank where people who wanted to cross the Yamuna would pay a small tax. At times, the coward boys would assemble in this area and prevent the young girls of Vrindavan from crossing the river. insisting that they had to pay customs duty first. Such activities were full of joking and laughter. In this way, text 16, they wandered all over Vrindavan in the hills, the valleys, the bushes. We'll read Sanatana Goswami's comment to 16. And this is the final verse in the section we'll read today. They played the games known in the world for which are existing in the world. As many as exist in the world, they played all of them. So the idea is, what is the need to try to mention all of them specifically by name? They played them all, every game. In the forest means in Sri Vrindavan, and Kananeshu means in other forests, or else in forests within Vrindavan, such as Kamyavan. It is being stated in the Harivamsa how the two of them especially played in such places. We'll read, and this is what it's described in the, he quotes the Harivamsa. The two of them were tending the grown-up cows and seeing the forest overgrown with auspicious luxuriant grass. They would both make murmuring sounds. They would sing loudly and pull fruits from the trees. The two heroes would call to the cows and their calves from their shoulders, addressing them by name. And they would appear very beautiful together with tethers of rope hanging from their shoulders. The chests of both of them were crowded with flower garlands. They were the crown ornaments of youthful boyhood. Golden powdered delirium shone in their eyes, and they were both dressed similarly, just as two clouds, one black and the other white, which have been struck by the weapon of the great Indra. They wore attractive ornaments upon their ears, composed of the tips of kusha stalks and flowers, and thus they traveled along the path of Vrindavan, adorning themselves with various forest objects. Very wonderful. This is Vrindavan. Okay, it's so late. Well, thank you very much. And tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we shall begin and finish the pastime of how Balaram, in this beautiful, sweet setting, a demon shall enter, and his name is Pralambasura, and Balaram shall kill him. Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Krishna Sakyalati Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Or Bhagavatam Ki Jai.